And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papanuta, papanuta.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman of contramanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Deb Voith of BewitchingBee.com in Shorewood, Wisconsin, bringing us today's Oracle Hour topic on making an Oracle deck. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Miss Cat?
Hi.
Hello.
Well, it's very nice to be here with headphones on. However, I cannot get into the chat because it tells me that an error occurred. So I'm hoping for...
Okay, I'll try to help you.
Yeah, that's what it said. Whoops, an error appeared. So here we are live streaming, and I'm going to give everybody a little heads up on this. We're live streaming while the show is live. After that, the audio will be turned over to Andre in the nation of Georgia, and he will be adding video flow to the audio. And then it will be re-uploaded to YouTube as a video. Now, if you want to know about this, and I'm going to take a little moment here, so bear with me, Conjure Man and Deb. This is a lot of news to give to people. As you, most of you know, we've had a Lucky Mojo YouTube channel since 2020, but we've been very slow to develop it. And on January 1st, 2025, we kicked it into high gear, and we're growing the channel. We have more than 1,600 LMC network shows to get videoized and at YouTube. That's a lot of shows. As of today, when I checked in last, we had 810 subscribers and 160 shows online in one form or another. So if you want to check that out, go to youtube.com/@LuckyMojoCurioCo and subscribe, and you'll see what we're doing. You'll find that there's different playlists, some of which I'm going to tell you about. They don't exist yet, maybe next week. So the first playlist you'll see is the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And we have, as of today, 3 episodes of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Conjure Man, Miss Cat, and a cast of hundreds uploaded to YouTube. And these are fully edited video presentations. And they were edited by Andre Yashin and Deacon Millen. You all know Deacon Millen. And they all contain opening credits, running video, and end credits. And this is our most popular series, and it's our flagship show. Our current plan is to upload 1 new episode and 2 old episodes every week. But that would take us between 5 and 6 years. So we want to do the work faster. And when I get to the end of this announcement, I'll explain. We're asking for donations from our fans and followers because Andre can work much faster if we pay him per show more money. Or not more money, just money, period. The next show is the Crystal Silence League. And as of today, we have 150 episodes of the Crystal Silence League Hour with Reverend John St. Germain uploaded to YouTube. And these are what I'm calling flat uploads. They consist of all of the audio unedited. In other words, they might even open saying, "Welcome to Blog Talk Radio," or something. They all have to be edited. Plus, they have a placard showing the crystal of the week. And these are our usual social media placards. And they have a random photo slide, and which YouTube picked, and sometimes inappropriately. We will be upgrading these with actual intro video, running video during the show, and end credit video at the rate of one show per week by replacing them. And yes, that makes us lose the views we had going in, but you know, we're willing to do it because we want them to be pretty. But that would take us between 4 and 5 years. And again, we want to do the work faster, so we're going to be asking for donations from fans and followers who like the Crystal Silence League or any of our shows. Third show is The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. And we will start uploading these shows at the rate of 2 episodes per week starting next week. And the reason for this is that, and I'll be talking with Deb Voice, who is from The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, is our guest today. They're going on a 3-month hiatus. And we have always uploaded one old show and one new show every week. Now we're going to be doing 2 old shows while they're on their hiatus. And starting next week, those will have intro video, running video, and end credit video. In other words, they will be just as finished as the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hours. And that will take us between 4 and 5 years. So we want to do the work faster, so we're asking for donations. When they come back from hiatus, we're just going to be treading water, one old show and one new show, if you see what I mean. And then we have the Now You Know show. Now, these very popular variety shows are going to be very complex to edit. But if you ever listen to the show, you know it's all in segments and everything changes every few minutes, and it's just fantastic. But we hope to start adding them at the rate of 1 per week. But there may be a delay while we sort out a video format lively enough to do them justice, because they really are special shows. And once we start, the uploads will take us about 2 years, and we want to do the work faster, so we're asking for donations. And the last one for now is Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. So we will start uploading these shows at the rate of 1 episode per week starting next month, month of February, with intro video, running video, and end credit video, and that will take us a little over 1 year. And of course, we want to do the work faster, so we're asking for donations. So how can you help? Number one, subscribe and like to help the project. If you can't do anything other than subscribe, listen, and like the shows, you will have helped us immensely. We can get the job done a lot faster if we get the channel monetized. And monetization only comes with subscribers and episode views. Also, if you're one of our, you know, really loyal, fun fans, and you have a little bucks to spare, you can donate a small amount to speed the work. At this point, Nagashiba and I are funding the entire project from our own savings. And the upload rate of these 1,660 shows is dependent on our extra income every week. So if you can see your way clear to supporting the rapid development of this astoundingly valuable repository of folk magic and divination shows on YouTube, please consider sending a donation. To send a donation, just go to candleministry.com. Now today, I wish I'd had it fixed, but I don't. Go to the bottom of the page and it says, make a donation. And it will say that you're donating to MISC, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, and Lucky Mojo. That donation button was set up back when our church, our first church, burned down and people sent money and really helped us out. We're going to be moving that donation button around, but it's going to be used for the YouTube project. So when you send a donation at that donation button, it'll be marked as a donation to MISC and LMC Co. And all the money that we receive in this way will go to paying Andre and Deacon Millett and to increase their rate of production and uploading. And to that, I say thank you. So, folks, that was an important message, and I hope you all understood it. I know that when I go there right now, and I'm going to go to the YouTube. I'm not, because Shiva has grabbed my mouse. Oops. Let it go, Shiva. Thank you. when I go to the, nope. Oh man, he's really messing me around here. What's going
All
on?
All done. You're now able to chat.
I'm now able to chat. Thank you. Oh, good.
Sure.
Okay. So when I go to the YouTube channel, I said there was 810 subscribers, and right now there are 829. So 19 people signed up in the last hour. So thank you all. It's really cool of you to do that. So I don't know if we can keep up that rate, but we really do want to have more people playing along with us here. All right, now one more thing I have to read, and I'm sorry that took so long. Meanwhile, Nagashiva, it looks like my whole StreamYard thing has closed and disappeared. So that was crazy, so you might want to come back here and find it for me. We'll get used to it. New technology always is what it is. Okay, so now we have our winners. And so every Monday at Hoodoo Psychics, Deacon Millett gives away a free reading. It's a free 15-minute reading. Thanks, Shiva. He put it back on my screen. And so 2 weeks ago, the December 18th Hoodoo Psychics contest winner was Ellie Austin. And Ellie won a free 15-minute reading from anybody at Hoodoo Psychics. And then the previous week's Christmas Hoodoo Psychics contest winner was Jeff Nick Brannon, and he won it for Kim. How sweet. Jeff, you're such a nice guy. It's a gift to Kim, and Kim can get a free 15-minute reading. And last week, January 1st, Hoodoo Psychics contest winner was Jessica Merrifield. And so, Jessica, claim your prize, and you can have any one of the Hoodoo Psychics people do your free reading for you. The reason there are so many of these is we were off for Christmas and New Year's. Okay, now we have the winners for the Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays contest. So for December 20th, there were three books being offered as a special. The Professor Porterfield Author Special. And these consisted of Hoodoo Bible Magic, Sacred Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery, co-authored by Miss Michael and Professor Porterfield, A Deck of Spells, Hoodoo Playing Card Magic and Rootwork and Conjure by Professor Porterfield, and The Sporting Life, How to Help Yourself with Hoodoo from the Streets to the Sheets, and that's also by Professor Porterfield. And included with the books are two decks of playing cards, so you can try your hand at the spells mentioned in A Deck of Spells. And the winners were Alma Aguirre Perez, Sherry Robinson, and Carrie Denton. Congratulations. All winners have responded to the messages from our Facebook pages. So they're on their way to getting their stuff. The Facebook Friday's winners for December 27th, which was Fire of Love, went to the following six people. So this was a bottle of Fire of Love oil to use to dress candles or to wear on the body. And the six people who won these were Rick Stewart, Christy Lynch Carver, Rebecca Lowe, Sylvia Yvette Rosa, Jeff Nick Brannon. Oh, weird. Jeff Nick Brannon also won that Christmas Hoodoo Psychics contest and gave it to Kim. What a nice guy. See, he got rewarded now. Look at that.
Exactly.
And Abby Ramirez. Isn't that any coincidence? It's his lucky week. And all of the winners have responded to messages already, so they're all set. And last week, we had one winner, and this winner won the big prize, the Library of Natural Magic Collection, and that's comprised of Lithomancy by Reverend Dr. John St. Germain, Crystal Magic by Reverend Dr. John St. Germain, Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic by me, Catherine Ironwood, Legends of Incense, Herb and Oil Magic by Louis de Clermont, restored, revised, and edited by me, Bone Shells and Curios by Michelle Jackson, This Amazing Book by Sunray, which I edited, Throwing the Bones, which I wrote, and Hoodoo Food by the Ladies Auxiliary of Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. And these are all books that are about natural magic, in other words, magic with herbs, roots, shells, bones, and stones. And the winner of this giant book prize was Sashi Lee. And we have messaged her from the Lucky Mojo Facebook page. She has not yet responded. So Sashi Lee, send us your message and get your amazing pile of books. Phew! All right. Now, having said all of that, how are you doing, Conjure Man?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you, Nagashiva, and all the wonderful people who are joining us. It's a nice new technology we're all learning here together. Yeah. Those so far seem to be, not to jinx it, but so far seems to be much smoother than Blog Talk Radio. I was a little hesitant because I'm like trying out new technology right at the beginning of the new year. Is it going to work out? But it's working out, and that's quite lovely. I hope you all had a great break. I know that I definitely did. What a year 2024 was. I'm not sure how I feel about the new year. It's already turning out to be quite interesting, and maybe interesting isn't the right word, more complicated, and it seems like it's going to be another one of those years for the books. But I managed to eat my grapes. I managed to go and hang out by the sea, and I also got a lot of really cool videos from friends in Brazil. We talked about some various New Year's traditions, right? And we talked about how in Brazil they wear white and they wade out into the waves as part of their New Year's tradition. And so I got some cool videos from friends of various ceremonies and practices that they did in Brazil. And so that was quite nice. It was a little bit of a low-key New Year's Eve. I'm not sure what you all did for New Year's Eve, if you stayed up late to ring in the new year.
Oh, yes.
Add your grapes. Okay, yeah. What did you all do?
We sat around and ate dim sum.
Dim sum.
I think when I first met you, we also went and got dim sum, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's a Jewish thing.
Yeah,
it's
we did.
It's a Jewish thing to have Chinese food at Christmas and New Year.
I think we met. I think it was in the summer. But we definitely went and got dim sum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We watched fireworks on YouTube, too, all around the world.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
The beauty is the technology. It allows you to just tune in anywhere and everywhere. So you can keep watching, you know, fireworks every time the hour strikes midnight, right? You tune into the East Coast, then Central Time, then West Coast Time. And so you get a whole evening of fireworks, one after the other.
It's lovely.
It was.
It's been an amazing few days, I'll tell you. Getting this whole thing going is...
It is a lot of behind-the-scenes work.
Yes,
it is. Deacon Millet is doing a tremendous job.
Deacon Millet is one of those quiet workers that does so much, not just here, but like let's talk about the fact the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, right? Like psychics. He's always behind the scenes doing an immense amount of work without ever really like jumping into the spotlight or taking a lot of credit. But he's one of those people that really... If you don't know who Deacon Millet is, you should know. You should know that his hard work is behind basically everything.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm reading some stuff in the chat already. I see here Balkan Diviner said, toasted with my parents at midnight and having neighbors gathering at our doorstep for a little chat. And about Deacon Millet, Nagashiva says, he's the treasurer of the AISC. That is mm-hmm. true.
Margaret Phyllis says, I burned my bayberry candle. That's great.
Uh-huh. So we're getting one little oddity. Anything that Shiva posts three times.
Yes, I noticed.
But anything I post doesn't post at all.
Mm. He's reinforcing what he's saying.
I'm just telling you.
I thought I saw you.
Well, I'm trying to put in just a little tiny thing and it won't work. So we'll see. You know, I'm just trying to post and see what happens. There is a little limit on it. But
yes.
Just move on. You know, I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm very excited for today's Oracle Hour with a very interesting topic.
Yes. Yeah, let's bring in our guest. And,
thank you.
And we'll stop talking about procedure because it's just going to drive us crazy.
That's
and you
right.
wouldn't know it, folks. We've already done two rundowns of this and have still not gotten the wrinkles out. So be nice to us, okay? So, Deb, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on this first YouTube.
Yeah.
This is really, it's really something. And it's amazing to see it actually happening.
And all the behind the scenes work and just, you know, having it all come together. It's just, I'm very excited.
Yeah. Well, we are too. And it's really going to be a big deal. Now tell us what's going on. You're up there in the frozen north. What is your New Year like?
Oh, well, it really is frozen up here. I'll tell you, it's for the last couple of days, the temperatures have been in the teens, maybe in the 20s a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty frosty. But New Year's was, you know, it was really nice. It wasn't like we did anything wild or anything like that, but we just, me and my husband just, we made some good food. We had some lobster tails and asparagus and fruit and stuff like that, and some fake champagne. And we watched some of the stuff on TV a little bit, but we mostly played Scrabble all night, which was kind of fun because we hadn't done that for a while. And I know, like, a number of years ago, around Milwaukee, there was people were nuts for Scrabble, and there used to be like Scrabble tournaments and stuff like that. And so it was fun to play it because I hadn't played it for, you know, a few years. But yeah, that was kind of how we spent our New Year's. And just kind of talking and reflecting a little bit about the past year and talking a little bit about, you know, some of the things we might want to do for this coming year. And so it was real nice.
Yeah, besides that, you out there in the snow playing Scrabble. It sounds almost idyllic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our topic. Nagashiva posted in the chat. We may have only time enough to take one client today. I think so. We really are pushing ourselves in a new direction. We have so much announcing to do. And thanks, everybody. I'm seeing y'all in the chat being enthusiastic about this. And we really are hoping that this is going to take our shows into the wider world. So any help that you can give would be much appreciated. But let's get to our show. So our show today is on Oracle cards. So I'm going to ask Papa Newt, the keeper of the URLs, to put through, if he can, a couple of URLs. These would be for web pages that we have written in the past about card reading. So one of them is a page at Lucky Mojo, luckymojo.com/cartomancy.html. And this is the page that just tells you about cartomancy in a most general way and how it became a part of folk magic and how to use it. But you can all, you know, check that out and take a look at it. The other page that he's going to post a URL for is the Association of Independent Readers and Rule Workers, or AIR, page on playing card reading. Now, this is a complex, very deep page with some subsidiary other pages about the suits and the numbers on the cards and layouts and all that sort of stuff. And that page is right there at AIR. There it is, category card reading. So these pages will give you somewhat of a background. And if you're interested in Oracle cards, Papa Newt's going to post one other thing, which is the Oracle cards that we sell at our shop. And, you know, that's just, if you're looking for Oracle cards, we have some. We also, of course, have tarot cards and playing cards. So now, Papa Newt, could you put it in as Mojo Cat Divination? .html also? Thank you. But that's a sort of another version of it. So now we're going to talk about what are Oracle cards. So we all know what playing cards are. And if you have ever read the book, A Deck of Spells, the whole history of playing cards is outlined there by Professor Porterfield. Oracle cards are a more recent development. I would say they started in the 19th century, and playing cards go back to much, much earlier, 1400s even. They did not come out of playing cards per se. Where did they come out of tarot cards, which are really a kind of playing card? They developed out of a few oddities of what I call flashcard teaching. And there's a whole tradition of using the printing presses that print playing cards to also print trading cards. And these would be like modern steamships of the world, or it might be something like our favorite garden roses. And there usually were 25 to 50 cards in these decks, and they were given out with tobacco originally, and then later with chewing gum. And so cards became popular. Around that same time, the postcard craze hit around 1905. So these presses were just churning out things on cardstock, trimming them up, stacking them up in little piles. And Oracle cards are part of that. And they come from the Victorian idea of accumulating knowledge and wisdom, but also displaying it in little chunklets. And so I don't know what the earliest Oracle card decks are, but I think they're the ones published by Ferdinand Piatnik and Sons in Vienna. And they had old Oracle card decks that were not Lenormand decks, and they were not tarot decks, and they were not playing card decks. They were just Portiatone decks. And those, of course, still exist. But over the years, they've become popular and then fallen out of popularity and then become popular again. So having said that, there are hundreds of them. If you look at the picture on the placard, you'll see dozens of different Oracle card decks. Some of them are Piatnik decks. Some of them are from France. Some of them are from Eastern Europe. And some of them are from America in that array. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Deb. Tell us all about making your own Oracle deck.
Sure. I've made a couple of Oracle decks with specific themes for using for specific purposes. The first one I made was for spirit work. And then the other one I made, the one I'm going to be talking about today, was I created it for root work. And so that is the Oracle. That's the one I'll be focusing on today. And I use it in client readings. Sometimes I'll use them alone, or sometimes I'll use them in combination with other cards or other divination tools like pendulums or dice. So when I talk about creating your own Oracle deck today, I'll be talking about how to make your own personal handmade Oracle. And so this is like the type of Oracle that you might use for your own personal divination, or you might create one that you use only for clients. Or you might make an Oracle that you use only for specific workings. Like I made one Oracle that I use for all types of spirit and energy work. And I use this oracle, you know, when I'm asked to assess the energy of a place or a person, like when a client is sensing changes in their own personal energy, or perhaps they are feeling stuck, like they can't move forward, or maybe they have other things going on that is messing with their energy. Or sometimes I get asked to assess a haunted place to see what's going on there.
Can I ask a question here? Because
yeah,
you said you made one for spirit work and you've made one for hoodoo root work. How many cards are in a typical oracle deck that you make?
When I first made them, I believe I just started out with 20. But I now, the deck that I'm using today has grown a little, so I have 55 cards in it.
Uh-huh. Now, the next thing is, how do you get the art? Are you an artist?
I am definitely not. Well, maybe I am an artist, but I'm not a great artist. Mm-hmm. and I'm not very attuned to technology. So I don't do graphic design or anything like that. So what I do is, I feel like you don't have to be real artistic to make an oracle deck. You can make it very simple or as elaborate as you like. You might make it very blunt and concise, or you might make it filled with a number of symbols that most resonate with you in your divination practices. So, you know, depending on what type of oracle you want to make, and what you want to use to make it will kind of determine what your oracle is going to end up like. And so so before you create a deck, it's really good to just think about what you're going to be using it for, so that you have like a general theme in your mind. So you want to have that idea, and you might choose something very specific or narrow, or you might go more general. But even if you go more general, you'll still want to have some sort of theme or idea. And so, you know, you might start making a list of the different types of things that you might want to include in your oracle. Like, just for example, I've got in my deck, I have a justice card. I have a money drawing card. There's a it's complicated card.
Mm-hmm.
There's a candle work card, but then there's also things like rapid movement, victory. I've got one card that says life says yes, and another card that says life says no. So there's.
I'm gonna jump in again.
Okay.
We've gotten questions here, and we want to attend to our questions. Margaret okay. Phyllis Gabor yeah. says, "Is using AI cheating when making your own cards?"
You know, so I would think it would be just another way to make them. I don't think it would be cheating. I would think that using the medium that you're most comfortable with is a good way to go, because I think that once you make your deck, I think it becomes like a living thing, mm-hmm. and it evolves. And so over time, there might be some cards that you decide don't really work that well, and you might take them out and then end up adding other cards that actually do work really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's, you know, part of using your intuition and also using like the things that you like, the things that resonate with you when you're looking at imagery. And so some people like cats, or some people like angels. And, you know, so it's a good idea to think about maybe colors or the use of words.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the questions here, because we're mm-hmm. you're scrolling away sure. as we talk. So I wanted to remind people that Michelle Jackson taught a workshop on making your own major Trump's tarot deck, 22 cards, using cut and collaged images from Slick magazines. She came with just stacks and stacks of magazines. We each got a blank card shape. We each got scissors, and we got glue, and we or paste, and we started just making our cards with images that we found. Now, we were working to a model in that pretty much everybody, and I think there are probably 50 to 60 people took that workshop. Most of us knew what we were looking for, a tower card, a magician card. In the time allotted, we could not make a full deck, but each of us sort of picked something. We thumbed through the magazines, we looked at the pictures, and we said, oh, look at that car. I'm going to use that for the chariot, or what it would ever be. And but I just asked in the chat, does anyone even remember what Slick magazines are now? And St. Vincent Art said, I do, and my close-up vision is going too. So that's a, using those Slick magazines now, you'd have to go hunt them up someplace, really. Although there are still a few being published, of course. But you could, for instance, subscribe to Archaeology magazine and make an entire deck just using archaeological artifacts and you know, ones for love, ones for money, whatever you find in these magazines, and make a deck that way. That's so I don't, that given that collaging is so useful, I don't think that AI, to go back to answer Margaret Phyllis Gabor's question, I don't think AI is a bad way to make your own deck if you know how to use AI and make good prompts. If you don't, get out there with a pair of scissors, right?
yeah, definitely. I love old school, so I think what I do is I usually make a list first of like what are some of the, you know, especially like with root work, what are some of the most common questions that I get, and what are some of the possibilities of answers to those questions? And so that'll start me generating a list straight away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once I get the list down, usually I'll name the card before I put the image on there. And so I might, you know, put it, I might write it right on there, like on the bottom or on the side. But then I'll put the image on there that goes with the idea and the intention of the card to kind of expand on it. So after I get some of my ideas down and I have figured out kind of the purpose of what I want to use the oracle for, then I can, you know, start to work on it. But I have to know ahead of time, like, am I going to use it just for my own self-reading? Am I going to use it in meditation or use it for, you know, clients? So it would be good to just get like an idea of what your oracle is going to be, and then start putting the pieces together, you know, by making a list.
So in the chat, Sidharad has said, generative AI is trained on other artists' work unethically. So I would caution against that. It's anti-intuition, in my opinion. And I get that. I'm not sure that I would use AI, but that's just me, because I'm old school, and I also am a person who wants to protect my own copyrights. And I don't like the way AI is stealing everybody's writing and art copyrights to, quote, train themselves to plagiarize. So
it's a very good point by Sidharad.
How
about you, Conjurman? Were you there when Michelle Jackson did that workshop?
I vaguely remember it, but I could be, I may be mixing up my Hoodoo Heritage Festival, but I do vaguely remember it. But yeah, there's a variety of different ways, and I think Sidharad is also right. AI doesn't just take from other people's art. I also want to point out that there's something about technology and divination. There are ways to do divination with technology, but divination is about tapping into a spirit, and it's usually a spirit that is an ancestor, a spirit of divination, a deity. Even if you don't intentionally do it, I mean, you are tapping into a genius, into a muse, right? There's some form of inspiration that comes with the building of divination tools, oracle decks, etc. And I'm not sure if AI can do that. It's sort of a different experience, right? It's something else entirely. If we were to say it's a spirit, it's almost a spirit that is very, you know, opposed to divination. It's not a precognitive. It does analysis, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas what we're doing is much more, frankly, oracular. We're soothsaying, right? We're tapping into a spirit that moves us and through us then creates symbols or languages that we can communicate with it. I mean, I think about Pamela Coleman and the building of the tarot, right? Like, that is an act of an oracle. Not just the deck is an oracle, but she, the creator, is the oracle, right? Channeling that. And Deb, as you were talking, I could see your process, right? You're channeling. Your spirit is moving through you. Say, oh, you know, you may not be the best artist, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you're creating a language by which that spirit, whether it's the spirit of the conjure you do or the spirit of justice or whatever spirit you're tapping into, is now speaking through those symbols. And that right there is the crux of the building. An oracle deck is that ability to communicate. You're tapping into something and then creating a language so that you can continue talking to what you tap in. Now, I have found that with oracle decks, there's sort of two big approaches. There's the abstract approach, in which people will use symbols, images, collages, as Ms. Cat talked about. All of them sort of go in there. It's meant to be abstract. I know someone, for example, who made a geomancy oracle deck and just took the 16 figures of geomancy. You know, those all have a very specific meaning and place them on the card. That's a symbolic approach. Others take a narrative approach in that they're telling a story, similar to how we see a story play out in the major arcana and the minor arcana. Both of them have sort of narratives that are built in. So if you're building this deck, you want to ask yourself, are you doing a symbolic approach? Are you doing a narrative approach? And then you want to ask yourself a series of questions. You want structure. So how is it going to be organized? Does it have suits? Can it be divided up? What themes do you want to speak to? Is it used to divine generally? Do you want to work with a specific spirit, your ancestors, your spirit of the land, etc.? What answers do you want? And then how will it be used? Will it be used in spreads? Will it be used in card cutting? And I think once you start to answer these questions, right, take the big approach, is this going to be symbolic and abstract? Is it going to be narrative? And then you break down in the, is the structure, I think that can help organize how the oracle deck will come about.
Yes, yes. Oh, you and Kat are both so good at putting out like what I'm trying to say. It's like, I think when you create an oracle and you're putting your efforts and infusing it with our energy and channeling, you know, it does become almost like a living thing, like, you know, in like a servitor or a tulpa or, you know, a thought form that is an extension or a spirit guide that it's an extension of us. And, you know, it's just, for me, I like to use simple symbols, you know, that are kind of already a part of the library of symbols that I have in my mind, or that I've kind of associated in my own psychic or medium work. And so that's usually what I end up using. And maybe I might put a word on the card also. But yeah, that's definitely such a big part of the process. And I can see where using technology might be, you know, for people that are knowledgeable, kind of fun. But I think that when you are just using your own energy and creating, like I'll draw something in pencil real simple, and then after I get it on there the way I want it, then I'll go over it with a permanent marker or, you know, other kinds of, you know, colored pencils or whatever to get it how I want it. But, and the other thing I wanted to point out is for some people that have never made one, it might seem like kind of overwhelming. And so I think it's best to start out really simple because, you know, maybe you have ideas for just like 10 cards or something. And that, you know, that's plenty to start out with because sometimes less is more. You know, I found out when I created a bone oracle, I had deer bones and sheep knuckles, and I added some roots, and I added a few stones, and I added some charms and some dice. And pretty soon I realized that it was too much. I was having so many items seem to almost complicate the message rather than simplify or make it more focused. And also, it would take me forever to read each item on the casting cloth.
Yeah.
So,
we have talked about oracle decks here before, to get back to that from Bones. Mm-hmm. We have talked about oracle decks before, and we've gone through quite a few of them, ones that are based on games like the Ravensloft deck, which Angela Marie Horner uses, the Citadel deck, which Doc Murphy uses, which is based on a sort of a Tolkien-esque game called the Citadel. And these decks sometimes come with sort of a fantasy component, or they might come with a component of, for instance, herb magic. Every herb or flower has a meaning in floriography, the language of flowers. Yeah. So you could simply have 100 cards of flowers, or 50, whatever you wanted, and those would give the basic reading. You could lay them out in threes and to do a three-card reading and say, this reading moves from, you know, coreopsis to rosemary to acorns, and we come up with a reading, an interpretation of it. So there are also palmistry card oracle card decks. That doesn't mean you're learning the palmistry from the flash card. In other words, you're not using the card to teach yourself palmistry. You're actually reading for the client as if that's what you saw in their hand. And those are interesting ways of linking symbol systems together. I want to give a shout out to Papa G, who's in the chat. Hi, Papa G, a man who has made his own Lenormand deck.
Ah.
And Margaret Phyllis Gabor was sort of clarifying about what she said about the AI deck, because she said she's not an artist. I think that what we're really thinking of here, in a way, is not so much art. In other words, you could make, and there are oracle decks that consist of nothing but geometric shapes, triangles, squares, circles, like the Rhine cards, but you can expand that to, you know, images like cathedral, a tree, whatever, you know, just whatever has a meaning to you. And these would be sort of simple thematic apperception test kind of cards, you know, the sun, the moon, and they can be very simple. I find that the kinds of oracle decks that I collect, these, by the way, the kinds that I have run across are amazingly disparate and varied in their character and in the images. Some of them are based on astrology or astronomy. So they will give you, and I think I read with the Zolar astrology cards the last time I had to do it, or maybe the time before last, the last time I did a divination card reading with non-tarot cards. And those contain all of the planets, all of the signs of the zodiac, and then you kind of put them together. I mean, you do a layout like, it's Mars in Pisces. And then you have to be an astrologer to be able to read it, but you're actually making an oracle based on making not a reading of an actual sky, but of the cards themselves as a small universe. So there are many forms of these oracle decks. The topic is so vast and so broad. Some of the decks that are shown here on this thing are the Sibylla decks, which are Central European, the Gypsy Witch card deck, which is probably the evilest card deck in the world. There's the Citadel deck is shown there, some of the Piatnik decks. There is a Lenormand deck or two shown in this picture. And Lenormand cards are a kind of a hybrid between playing cards and an oracle deck. And the maker who kind of broke that apart was Piatnik, who made Lenormand cards with the playing card images inset, but then they just started making cards with just images on them. So they would be like the widow and, you know, the foreign lady, and you just go from there. I mean, it's what the deck you get is sort of gets you where you're going. I like the idea of decks of stones. There's a wonderful oracle deck, which is just crystals and gemstones. That tells you about them, of course, and you learn them, but they are also an oracle deck, not just flashcards. So you will be able to read about amethyst. Amethyst is used for protection and to prevent poisoning. And therefore you would say to that person, you need protection at this time. And so the gemstone cards are wonderful. The Dom Christ, hi. The Dom Christ just showed up in chat and says angel cards. Absolutely. Angel cards are great. And those are, you get to learn about the angels, but they also tell you what your fortune is based on them. All right. Yeah. So when you make a deck, let's get down to the business of making this deck. Do you get blank cards to make it on, or do you just chop up pieces of paper? What's the physical process you're using?
Right. I use blank decks, and you can buy blank decks that have some kind of motif or something on the other side of it, or you can buy them so that they're blank on both sides. And I so far I've actually just bought the ones that are blank on both sides, and what I do to make it, you know, the other side of the card is I have a lot of ink stamps with different things on them. And so on one, I've got like a magical looking lady on one deck, and on the other deck, I have a bee, for bewitching bee. And so I put I stamped a bee on the back of all of my other deck. Also, I was thinking of making a love deck, and I'm tempted to use cardboard coasters just to have a round deck to give a little variety there. Usually what I'll do is, you know, I'll get my list together and get a sense of structure and direction, and maybe a few ideas of favored images or words, and then I'll start putting it together. And so I'll burn some incense. You know, I usually like to use, from Lucky Mojo, like Clarity Incense or Psychic Vision Incense. And then, like I said, I'm not a great artist, but, you know, I'll just start to draw simple images and maybe a word on the card with pencil first. And then when it looks close to how I want it, I'll go over it with something more permanent, you know, with colored pencils or markers or pens. A couple of times I've cut and paste images on there, but then I kind of have to do something to shellac over it so that it doesn't, get wrecked when I'm shuffling. But as you create your oracle, I think it's really important to try to include like a spectrum of images. Like you'll probably get more comprehensive answers if you have if you have all fairy dust and unicorns, or if you have all monsters and evil demons, your oracle might be kind of one-sided, and it might not give you a balanced direction. And so I would at least want to have an oracle that will give me a heads up of trouble ahead, and try to create it in a way that will give you clarity and add insight to your other divination tools. So that's what I'll do is I'll usually, if I'm doing it and I get my list together, because I don't make real complicated images, I can make, you know, an Oracle. Well, when I made these Oracle decks, it probably took me like 4 or 5 days to do it once I had my list together. I think the hardest part is actually like getting the theme or the idea, you know, knowing what I want to use it for, the intention, and then starting to generate the thoughts and ideas of what I actually want to place on the cards. And so like I'll smoke the cards with incense. I might, you know, afterwards I might lay the cards I've created out under the light of the full moon to enhance or charge up their energy. And, you know, I'll do things to become friends with those cards. I might sleep with them under my pillow or create a new card layout or use them for further insider clarity by, you know, maybe I'll only lay them out next to my other like tarot cards or other divination tools. But as
I'm going to jump in again because we got more stuff here in the chat.
Sure.
There's I think it was Vulcan Diviner said, Oracle decks based on TV shows or books as gifts. And I have been in the publishing business for a long time, and I was part of a company, Eclipse Comics or Eclipse Enterprises, and we made non-sports trading cards for any number of topics, and such as the Beverly Hillbillies TV shows. Or King Kong, the entire film of King Kong in cards. If you know pop culture well enough, if you know every episode of the Beverly Hillbillies or every James Bond movie, you could take those cards, shuffle them, and go, ah, this situation is like the time when Ellie's animals did such and so. You know what I mean? It would be your reference point. Mm-hmm. Some of these do seem trivial to people, and I don't know whether Vulcan Diviner meant it as a trivia thing, but they can be quite deep. They really can.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. I have a supernatural deck that I love using.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The Literary Witch's Oracle. Studio, exactly. But here's our bumper music. So we're going to take a client, but let's get to Papa Newt and he'll set us up for that.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandreworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted reworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go and take our today's client. And so we've chosen someone who has signed up with us before, and this is their first time being a part of our YouTube live stream, appearing on the stage for the first time, though he's been a client of ours before. This is Vulcan Diviner. Vulcan Diviner, are you with us?
Hello.
For those listening to the show, I don't know why we all cheered. Vulcan Diviner has been a type only member of our chat for years. Yeah. Hi, Vulcan. Now we have speech.
Welcome to the show. And just a little back history. Vulcan Diviner has been on the show before. Or hasn't been on the show before, but had a situation in summer of 2024. Situation has changed, which is wonderful to see, but is calling on a whole new situation. And not seeing any other readers and root workers on the situation, but Vulcan Diviner writes, I want to apply at the next presidential election tours as a computer operator at the electoral office of the voting section. The person who ensures the correct registration of voters, personal identification number in the system. Will I succeed? Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Again, for those who don't know, Balkan Diviner is connecting with us from Romania, correct? Oh, we don't hear the answer
yes,
to that.
Yes, I'm connecting from Romania.
From yeah. Romania. Mm. So when is the next presidential election?
The date has not been yet decided, but it's rumored around 23 March and 6th April.
Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to set you up with two readers and one root work situation. And I guess I'm going to be your first reader. So now, I'm going to be reading an oracle deck that you've probably never seen, Balkan Diviner, but it's a fabulous one. I've read with it once before on air. I've read with it many times in person. The name of it is Fortune Telling Cards. And then it says, these are not playing cards. Mm. And then it says, with lucky numbers, game of life, price $1, instructions inside, cards are marked, read very easily, tell the past, present, and future. And there's a face of a rather overweight man with a turban on, with some sort of strange emblems on his turban, but he's an he looks English or German. And it says, Harry Ingalls, author of these cards, 142 Burrell Street, Swampscott, Massachusetts. And Harry Ingalls was a guy who made these cards, and he made other things too. He really was a prolific, I guess you could say, a fortune-telling entrepreneur. He also published something called the New Dream Book, the Tea Leaf Book, How to Read Your Fortune in a Teacup, the highly praised horoscopes, date of birth, 50 cents in coin, and 3 cents stamped for mailing, so you can tell how far back that was, Lucky Charms, 50 cents, the Ingalls Fortune Telling Cards, which is what I'm going to be read, and for any or all of these articles, send coin and stamp to Harry Ingalls, 142 Burrell Street, Swampscott, Massachusetts. I'm afraid that is out of date. And the instructions for reading these cards, there are 29 cards. On the back of each card is a picture of the zodiac with a woman in the center. This is the same picture that we adapted to use on my book, Astrology for Root Workers. It's an oval, and it was published by Nelson Publishing Company of Columbus, Ohio, for use by astrologers to hang in their offices or on the street if they did readings there. The art is by Nelson Hahn, and this is the original oval version of it. I hope that that Harry Ingalls paid Robert Nelson the price for using this. In any case, I'm going to do three cards. So I want you to know what kind of cards I'm reading. When you get the cards, on the front, you see a picture of Mr. Ingalls' rather pudgy, frowning face. And then there are little emblems of a dark moon and a full moon and two stars. And then there's a little row of sort of beaded dots around it. And every card has on it wish, answer, yes or no, at the top. Then a number, the card number in the sequence of 29. And then a lucky number. And that's looks like they're always three-digit numbers. And then at the top, right side, bottom, and left side, there are statements. And this is the answer to your question. So I know that took a long time to describe, but this is a great little deck. And you can find these at eBay. Just look for Harry Ingalls Fortune Telling Cards. I think that many people have them. I kind of even wonder if Papa G has them, might have them. So I'm going to read on the question of the working for the election, getting the information for the election, will you be able to get that job? Okay. Now, I'm going to just read a three-card cut. And so the three-card cut question is, can Balkan Diviner get a job as a computer operator at the electoral office of the voting section? Okay. So this is an odd card. It has almost two answers. The wish answer is no. In other words, what you wish for may not come to pass. The lucky number is 066. But now we have at the top of the card, it says success in business is in store for you. So although you may not get this job, you will still have success in business. Then it says a woman will soon invite you to her home. She will bring you good luck. Now, this doesn't mean a romance. It just means some woman will help you, presumably in your business. You are going to be happier than you dared to hope. And you will have a few trustworthy friends, but one unexpected enemy. So that's card number one. Card number two is another card that says wish answer is no. And the lucky number is 091. And it says you are always doing for others without reward. A false friend, beware. Now that kind of correlates to the other one, one unexpected enemy. And it says you do have many good friends and your wisdom will be more appreciated later. So I'm not seeing this as a yes, you will get this job. What I'm seeing is that you should proceed with your job of being successful yourself. Watch out, there is somebody who might be an enemy around you. And you do have many, many good friends. And of course, you heard how we all cheered for you. So you're obviously very loved. And the third card for you is a wish answer of no. So I got three no's. Now, usually when you do a three card cut, you take the majority number. Well, three no's is a no. And the lucky number is 102. And here is their prediction for you. You are good, but people misunderstand you. Something is told you which you must not believe. So there's something going around here. You want to be careful about that. Persist and you will be more successful. And there will be success for you if you carry through. So we got a lot of success things here, but we do have some warnings that go along with that. All right, that's my reading from the Harry Ingalls fortune telling cards. Now we're going to turn this over to Deb for her reading.
All right, yeah. So Balkan Diviner, that's, I think my cards they're a little different, but I think there might be like an interwoven message there. I pulled three cards from my created oracle, and then I pulled one card from Ask Your Guides oracle cards, which is by Sonia Choquette, and so I take that as a message from either your spirit guide or your higher self. And then I pulled one card that I put below the others, but I want to ask you, are you easily offended?
Yes.
Okay, then maybe I will skip that one. Because I always see that card as a card coming from ego, and sometimes it has a message that's a little blunt.
You can tell me, I don't mind in this case.
Okay. So I'm going to start out with the middle three that I pulled from my own oracle deck. And so the first card that I got was the power of prayer and intention. And so it's, I have a picture of a dove, kind of like a Holy Spirit dove, coming downwards. And so it's that energy that's slowing downward from the divine. And so this is telling me that whatever path you're seeking, that using the power of prayer and intention. And what came into my mind was the 23rd Psalm. That if you use that, that will help you to find your way, whether it's this job working with the voting, or if it's something else. And the thing that, well, as I go on, it could be the voting, but it almost feels to me when I overlook all of the cards here that it's something that might be more beyond that, something better than that. So the second card I got, it's called True Blue. And so it's kind of funny because what the symbol that I used for True Blue is there's like a box and then there's a big check mark in the box, which is kind of funny because that almost seems like a voting card. And so this True Blue is telling me that your intentions and that your what it is that you want to do as you move forward is a very sincere, very heartfelt effort that you're putting out there. And then the third card that I got is very interesting, because the third card, which kind of represents like where you'll end up, is the card that I call Master Key. And it's showing me two crossed keys. And it's also, for me, the meaning for Master Key is that you could possibly end up, it's not telling me no, that you won't end up working with this voting in the election, but it's telling me that your contribution could be, or your work could be so much more than that, that you have like a well of a very knowledgeable, very influential base of knowledge and action that could be put into use for a higher purpose. Now, I'm gonna read the message that I'm gonna call. It's the card from the Sonia Choquette deck, the spirit guides, and this is the message from your higher self, which is number 14, and it's called Leadership. And the card is actually named Higher Self. And so what it says about leadership is your higher self encourages you to consciously recognize and embrace the leadership role you are carving out for yourself. Through your focus, dedication, consistency, and discipline, you're emerging from the background and becoming recognized by others for both your competence and your wisdom. Others are naturally drawn to your empowered vibration and will follow your lead as they accurately sense that you can be trusted. Your higher self is cheering you forward. Step into the lead and do not follow others. You have outgrown other people's control and can trust yourself now to successfully lead your life. So shine your light bright on the world and make no apologies for your enthusiasm or confidence as you forge ahead on your path. Others are watching and will follow. Be mindful, however, not to overdo or you risk becoming disconnected from your source or getting burned out. Your natural enthusiasm is like fire. It is warm and appealing, but must be contained or it can consume you. So that's a message from your higher self.
Okay, Deb, I'm going to have to cut you off because we've gone over time. We have to go to Contraman at 12 past. We follow a pretty strict time schedule.
Yeah.
So, that's okay. Yeah, Shiva just posted, they have to move to root work. Okay, move take it away, Contraman.
Yeah, thank you. I think you've received some really good readings here and some wonderful insight from both Gad and Deb Void there. I'm going to combine them both in some root work. I just want to mention that I was also following along with my own Oracle deck, the Rumi deck, and I just want to read the Rumi verse real briefly. It's the Chariot that says, "The journey forth from your own self to God
itself, which I think is really strongly tied to what you're seeking to do, motion and move forward. So what I'm going to do is give you some root work. First, what I want you to do is take some John the Conqueror root, get one John the Conqueror root, and add it to some Hoyt's cologne. Set this aside. You're affixing this cologne for some work. Now you're going to get another John the Conqueror root, a master root, Samson snake root, and Grauver root. I'm going to speak a little fast because time's short, but it'll be available in the archives. So again, that's master root, John the Conqueror, Samson snake root, and Grauver root. Place this into a red flannel bag, a small red flannel bag. So this should be a small John the Conqueror root, a small piece of master root, a small Samson snake root, something that you can put in your pocket, that you can put in your underwear, that passes that test. So you don't want this big and clunky. You're going to add a small lodestone grit to it and sprinkle some magnetic sand. You're going to write out a petition of what you seek. I want to work in these upcoming elections. Place that into the bag as well and breathe your prayer into it. You're going to tie it in 3 knots and place it in the center of a dedicated space along with that Hoyt's cologne that you've affixed. Then in a cross around it, you're going to actually put 4 purple candles that you've dressed with Crown of Success oil. And you're going to burn these down as you pray. Deb mentioned Psalm 23. I think that's a perfect psalm here. So you pray Psalm 23 as these candles burn down. You are going to anoint this bag every day for 3 days with that special Hoyt's cologne that you made, that you've already added, that John the Conqueror root. So you're going to just take a little bit of it and dab it onto it, and you're going to burn this down on over 3 days. On the third day, so you're doing this over 3 days to really awaken the bag. On the third day, you're going to take a bay leaf, gravel root, and tobacco, mix it together, and burn it as incense on some charcoal. Smoke the bag in that incense. Once the ashes of the incense burns down, you're going to take the cooled ashes and put a pinch in each of your shoes so that as you go forth, each of your steps leads you to victory. Dab a bit of the cologne and rub it on your hands together and keep that mojo bag in your pocket. This way, you will be anointed by hand and foot for success, and the mojo bag will bring you victory in the job you seek.
Oh, thank you so much,
Patrick. Right at the nick of time.
Okay. Yes. And then comes something which is not happening.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network. Broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And here what we have for the upcoming week of the LMC Radio Network schedule. Monday, Mystic Mages and Magical Places, a rebroadcast of one of our favorite show episodes. On Tuesday, the Crystal Silence League syndicated will be on the topic of How New Thought Works, Changing Wrong Thinking Part 2. On Tuesday, the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron syndicated will be on the topic The Goddess Frigga. And then Wednesday, the Now You Know show, syndicated, will be on numerology and catnip. And then Thursday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron is the return episode. The Witches Return to the Air with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith. And then Sunday, on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, we'll have Papa G on Is Contact Magic Dead? And now it's time for our free spell segment with Deb Voith of BewitchingBee.com in Sherwood, Wisconsin. Take it away, Deb.
Sure. All right, so this is a ritual or spell to activate or wake up your personal oracle. So you can wait till the deck is completed, but what I like to do is take the first deck that I've created and with the energy I've put into it, see it as sort of a servitor or a tulpa, or perhaps I've asked my spirit guides to be with it, to be in it, you know, so there's this living energy that has been placed there. And now with this ritual, we're going to have that set the intention so that this first card will infuse the entire oracle as it grows and transforms. You could even make one of these cards to store with your other cards or divination tools, and then have that card be used to infuse your other tools with that energy. So to start, you want to light some incense before you get started. I recommend Mojo Spirit Guide incense or Master Key incense. Then take that first card that you created in your hand and name it. Or you can use the intention of it as the name. And sit with the card in your hand and fill it with your thoughts and intentions to inform what it is. And then fill it with your desired effects, the results that you seek for this personal oracle, and then also add the intention of having this card empower all of the following cards created. So then after that, wave the card through the smoke and then place the card face up on your altar or workspace where you have four white tea lights or small candles dressed with a bit of spirit guide or master key oil around the card positioned in each of the four directions. Then I would have you face east, write the name or intention of this first oracle card in the air above it with your finger. Then after you've written the name in the air, then emb it. What I mean by that is then take it and push it down with your hand and press the name down into the card. And then after that, just allow the tea lights to burn down. And afterwards, just store the first oracle in a safe place with the growing or finished oracle cards. Or you can place it with any other divination tools that you seek to empower. And also feed it regularly by wafting it through a divination incense or by placing an energizing crystal on top of it, like smoky quartz. And always feed it your thoughts and intentions and always think in with thank yous as you work with it. Just a couple tips. I would try not to name your first card a name that you commonly associate with someone or something else. And you might want to add some sort of like an auto release or a banishment when you are first creating or infusing this first card to serve kind of like as a in case of. For example, if the card was lost or damaged or some other unforeseen issues came up. You know, so for that, I would do something simple but specific, like set your intention that if anything happened to it that you did not want, that you could just do something simple, like say, I will release you. If you can't find the card and it's lost, you can just visualize the card in your hand and say, I will place you in my right hand and say, thank you for your service. You are now released. And so that would just be a real simple way just to end the energy or the service of that particular card that you're using to infuse your other divination tools.
That's a really nice really nice ritual.
That's a very great consecration.
Yeah. You know, you every time you're on our show, you do really impeccable spell design, I guess you could call it. So That's really good. I have nothing to add to that one because I think it was just really good. Do you have anything to add, Councilman?
No, I thought this was fantastic. And I know that a lot of people have rituals for consecrating, for connecting, for purifying their divination tools. And I think doing that is a great strategy. Sometimes they're called attuning. I don't know if either of you have heard this phrase before, where you sort of attune yourself to the oracle deck. You connect with it. This is, in many ways, probably the secret to actually building that connection. A lot of people who pick up oracle decks sometimes struggle with reading them correctly. And they're like, I can never make sense of it. But using a ritual that was just described by Deb here actually can be the key to unlocking how you talk to that oracle. So, you know, some people, particularly if you're like used to the tarot and then you go to do something like with the oracle deck, sometimes tarot readers actually have difficulties reading oracle decks. It's a struggle. There's like almost like they don't understand the language, so to speak. And a rite like this can really help you connect with the spirit of that oracle and therefore you know, actually start using it and connecting it and making sense of it. And what's interesting is that there is actually a lot of precedent both in history and in sort of global folk cultures of doing these type of workings around oracles, whether it's, for example, washing bones, preparing special teas, incenses, all these different sort of techniques that are used to connect to oracles. I really love it. I appreciate this particular working.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's really lovely. Well, we have just a little minute here. I'm going to do something odd. I asked earlier for people to subscribe. And earlier this morning, early afternoon, there were 810 subscribers of Lucky Mojo Curio Co. channel at YouTube. And I just went there, and there are now 831.
All right.
Great.
So things are looking good. I also pulled one more card from Harry Ingalls, and I got this message. The unexpected will happen. You will receive a gift from one dear to you, a secret of something important, success in your undertakings this year. So maybe somebody will send us a donation so we can get these things on the road.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's our music, so we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man. And thank you, Deb Voith of BewitchingBee.com in Shorewood, Wisconsin, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Papa G of FolkMagicStudios.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us the topic on Is Contact Magic Dead? Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Brewwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, sorry. We're away from that place. Here on YouTube, live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern times, and the shows are available in archive by luckymojo.com/radio show. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Now, this show is going to be live for a while. It's going to be taken off of YouTube, edited, and made into a much more beautiful presentation like the three that we already have. Hopefully in 1 week, it will be back up in its full glory with all of the chat and everything playing and edited. And hopefully the music will be a little louder so I can hear the end of the music playing.
Ah, it can be as long as you like.
That's good. I like that music. I want to be able to hear it. I'm getting old. Oh, that's a little cool. Okay. Here we go.
Hey. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, goodbye, everybody.
It's been great. Good night.
Good night.